player, my favorite banjo player, one of the most favorite people on the planet. That is Michael Miles, who is sitting in here now. We're going to talk about our lives. Michael and I used to do a show together called Panorama at the Hideout until corporate America got involved, and we don't do that. We don't do that anymore. But it was one of the great experiences of my life, and it is bound to happen again one of these days.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
But what Michael does, if you are one of the 400,000 some people who still get a hard copy of the Sunday Tribune, in that newspaper, you will find a story about Michael and his latest adventure, which is a Pete Seeger centennial celebration, 100 years of protests taking place next Saturday at the Old Town School. It is part of Michael's ongoing, oh, I don't know, Michael, what do you call it?
Life.
His ongoing creative and musical life. He spends what many people would think is an astonishing amount of time gathering a dozen or more great performers, great musicians, doing an astonishing amount of research about a specific topic. I was once part of a show some years ago called America 1968.
Right.
I think I played the role of Wally Phillips.
You were Wally Phillips.
I was Wally Phillips saying something. I think it was a commercial, reading a commercial.
And right, right.
And I invited a couple friends to come see it at the Old Town School, and I'm leaving. And one of them, a woman named Shirley Craven, said, "Well, Rick, something's wrong here. Something's wrong." I go, "What's the matter, Shirley?" She goes, "I'm trying to buy tickets for tomorrow's show." I said, "There is no show tomorrow. It's a one-time-only thing." Putting it together is what makes it really worthwhile for you, Michael, isn't it?
Well, it's nice to do it. You know, the 1968 show, we actually took that to Oregon.
Oh, I was unavailable for the road trip.
Yes. I brought eight people with me to Oregon, and we...
I had a very small part. I shouldn't have gone on the road.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your part, you had to introduce Wally Phillips, and your cue, you were in the audience, and I said, what's going to happen is we're going to play one of the greatest hits from 1968. You may recall this, "Yummy, Yummy, Yummy, I Got Love in My Tummy."
Yes.
And if you don't like that, you'll walk a little faster, because as soon as you get to the microphone to be Wally Phillips, the song will stop. So as a measure of kindness and affection for the audience that might want to hear the end of that song, you get up there. Yes, we went to Oregon, and I had to rent two cars for these, all this, and I told them. We're going to be like the Merry Pranksters in Oregon, and that I got two black Lincoln Continentals.
Oh.
But in fact, it turned out that instead of the Lincoln Continentals, we had Malibus. So, but it was still.
Yeah, but I would have fit so well.
But you can't believe everything you hear. You know,
Merry Pranksters aesthetic going on in my life.
They're from Oregon.
This one, you're Ken Kesey was your affection for Pete Seeger. You know, one of the things in doing that piece, Michael, you know, I was listening to a lot of Seeger music, and I was kind of flat. You know, he died not terribly long ago at a ripe old age, but that he is kind of, you know, what amazed me and kind of hurt me is that Pete Seeger was once as famous a musician as you could be in this country, wasn't he? With the Weavers,
I mean, Weavers had a few hit songs, and Pete was. I'm not sure how you measure fame, but he had so much to offer, and he was both a songwriter, but more deeply, he was a political activist.
Yeah,
and for him, the I like to use the word tool, that the banjo and the guitar and his voice were the tools of his trade. And I heard it said once that Pete's main instrument was the audience. And I thought it was a brilliant, notion of that, because he was one who realize the power of song and how it could engage people and make them feel warmer. Like the song "We Shall Overcome," there's a verse in "We Shall Overcome" that's "We are not afraid." And why do they sing "We are not afraid"? Well, they sing "We are not afraid" because they're scared to death.
Yeah,
and singing. Yeah. You know, the singing makes you feel a little safer.
Yeah.
Makes you feel...
You taught me this. He taught that song to Martin Luther King, didn't he?
Yeah, he shared it with him. Yeah. Through a few other folks as well, but it was Pete describing. I remember Pete describing being in a car with that Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King saying...
Know any songs I could sing? Your relationship with Seeger started when you were young, and you sent him a tape and a note, didn't you?
Well, actually, it was the other way around. He wrote first, believe it or not. He was on the... I was the program director at the Old Town School, and... at that point, the school had gone through some hard times, and there was only one full-time employee. That was Jim Hirsch, who was the executive director, and the woman Linda King, who answered the phone, and I was the third full-time employee. There were 200 students a week only, and so I was hired at $165 a week. Wow. To be the program director for half. That was halftime, and quickly it went to full time, and it doubled that salary. But what was happening was, it felt to me like there had not been a lot of imagination put to the educational programming. So I charged in and started doing a bunch of different things. And then Chicago is this immigrant city with there's amazing world-class musicians driving cabs and doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So started to bring new programming. And Pete was on the mailing list. And so one day out of the blue comes a note from Pete saying, "Dear Michael, looks like you're doing some good things at the Old Town School. Keep up the good work, your friend Pete." And I was like,
"Oh my God!"
Right. And I was like, "Good grief!" Pete Seeger wrote me a letter, you know. And so that was the beginning. And then
you sent him a sample. You sent him some of your music.
Yeah,
and the letter you got back was
the life changer.
Yeah, and it would have been. In any case, it was so empowering for you, wasn't it?
Right. Well, so Pete, I wrote him back after his first. I said, "Dear Pete, I can't believe you wrote me a letter, for God's sake."
Is it really you?
And I said, and at that point, I had written a book about how to play the banjo, yeah. And I sent him that. And I had my first album called Counterpoint that was half done, and it was on a cassette tape. Yeah. And I sent it to him, and sure enough, about a month later comes a letter, and these are all on the wall at the Old Town School. Now, here comes a letter from Pete, 2 pages, single space typed letter. In that, he says to me, "Of all the recordings I've heard in all my 70 years, this is one of the most beautiful.
Yeah.
It's enough to make me want to learn to play the banjo all over again." So I naturally wrote him back and said, "Dear Pete, it's okay if I quote you?"
Yeah. Yeah. Can I put this on the album
and
jacket?
That was the beginning. That was the beginning of our friendship. And he was, and what I talked about with you before was Pete was... He was an encourager. He was just a beautiful encourager. And when he found people who were doing things that he felt mattered, like the things that he felt, that he believed in, he encouraged them, you know. And so I wasn't the only one.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, there were many other artists who were the recipient of Pete's encouragement. But to me... you know, I taught myself to play the banjo. I grew up here in Chicago. I had this little tiny job at the Old Town School, and things were, but things were starting to happen. And that was quite a powerful moment for me. Yeah.
That's why Michael is orchestrating the impresario that he is, a Pete Seeger centennial celebration. 100 years of protest. It's next Saturday at the Old Town School. You can try to get tickets. Call the Old Town School.
They'll put you on the waiting list. It is sold out.
Get on the waiting list, as they should be, or read about it in your Sunday Tribune. Michael's going to spend the rest of the show here with me. He and I are going to perform like as we used to in the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
Can hear a portion of his unbelievably, I think, stirring, soaring musical piece called Mississippi Suite, which is 22 minutes long, and was seated, as he told me, I may have embellished it a bit, when he walked out of the East Moline Correctional Center some years ago, many years ago, after performing for the prisoners there, a la Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, and looked in the sky and saw six bald eagles, which he, as a city kid, had never seen before, flying west toward the river. And that was the seed of an inspiration that compelled Michael to explore, again, city kid, many things about the river and how the river, you know, in many ways divides this country. And it's a musical piece with words that is just spectacular. It is going to be part of the Pete Seeger centennial celebration, 100 years of protest. What is the afterlife of the Mississippi Suite, Michael Miles?
Well, the suite will be played more than at just at this
exactly
at this
right
show.
you don't need 12 other people. I mean, it's easier to put on,
right? There's five of us for that, and it was also supported by DCase here in the city of Chicago.
Right,
this
right.
Lovely note from the mayor, and then they encouraged me to apply again, and I got a second grant to create more. So I was quite honored by that.
And,
you know, it's like that encouragement. we artists need encouragement.
Well,
you know,
it's encouragement and the kind of support that art. You know, it's a nice. You know, we're not all playing and reading poetry on street corners. People have to eat and have places to stay,
right.
And that kind of. It's great to get accolades, but it's also as. You know, the arts is, you know, the poor stepchild of, you know, modern commerce here.
Right, right.
Where, you know, you'll fund a .com enterprise without thinking of what music and the arts can do for people. So what do you think? Where would you perform this? And by more, what do you...
Well, I do hope that that... Perhaps the Chicago Humanities Festival, they sponsored a number of, commissioned me to do other works in the past. 1968 was first through the Humanities Festival. It's a poem, it's a performance poem, the Poetry Foundation. There's other humanities festivals that might be interested in the Mississippi Suite. And it's a, you know, it's a bit, it's theatrical as well. I took the notion, not as a exact model, but... I love what happened in Hamilton with regard to American song form. You know,
sure.
They took song form and turned it completely on its ear and created. So you have like rhythmic speech followed by a Gershwin-esque melody lines
right.
that are sung
right.
And
right.
And so this is meant the Mississippi Suite. What the premise was, what I said to the city was, I would take the river that divides the nation as the musical foundation for a work about a divided nation, and it's very much in the moment right now, and it ties in with Pete and the show in the 100 years of protest, is what we were saying before about what Pete used his guitar and banjo and his voice for, was to speak out about what matters most and what is important and what is right. And the things that you pointed to in your article, Rick, that I said to you, and I was profoundly powerful to me, to feel like, I am understood here, because this was what I was after. And this is, you know, rather than get a bunch of people together to sing Pete Seeger songs only, that
I'm so glad you decided to do that. You would sell out a show at the Old Town School or a number of other venues if it was just the best of Pete Seeger,
yeah,
and the Weavers, and there's so many tunes that people remember, and you have so many talented collaborators. You could easily have done that, but you took the more difficult, more profound, but I think so much more rewarding road. Here's a portion of some of the words from the Mississippi River Suite. Water is blood. Blood runs deep like the veins in your heart. Lift goodness to the soul. The threads of the river sweep hope to the banks. That's pretty powerful stuff, to my mind. Mm-hmm. And my mind is like everybody else's mind. We are going to take a break, if that's okay with Adam Phillips, the world's greatest engineer. And then in the final portion of the show, we will try to figure out how to play a portion of Mississippi Suite. And Michael Miles and I are going to perform a selection from the June 20th, 1955, when Pete Seeger was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee to try to get him to name names and admit to being a communist so they could throw him in jail, and he certainly did not do that, unlike Ilya Kazan and some others. So stay tuned. You're going to get like a show. You're going to get Panorama Revisited.
All right.
Stay tuned. The crew with whom I work, Adam Phillips and the engineer, and Ben Anderson, the producer, have somehow figured out how to get some music that you'll hear in a little while from Michael Miles' Mississippi Suite, that will be will end the Saturday night program at the Old Town School, a Pete Seeger centennial celebration, 100 years of protest, a show that features something more than a dozen performers, musical, spoken word, everything, including a portion. The way Michael puts these shows together, there are songs and there are letters, there are newspaper articles, there are all sorts of historically relevant things. One that you selected is Pete Seeger's 1955 appearance. He was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee. I defy you people in Chicago to tell me where that building was. I knew where that building was. It was on Lakeshore Drive between Scott Street and Division Street. He was called before there, and I am playing one of the... Who am I playing, Michael?
Well, if you wanted to, you could be Richard Nixon. He was on the committee. I don't think he was one of the ones who questioned Pete, but he was on the House of America. You could think like Richard Nixon.
If I could think like Richard Nixon, I would jump. I would be able to jump out the window right down into the river.
So you're just one of the...
I'm one of the evil cabal.
One of the white guys in a suit. Yeah, you're a white guy in a suit.
Order, please. Order. Mr. Seeger is sworn in. The committee will now come to order. The committee has information obtained in part from the Daily Worker indicating that, over a period of time, especially since December of 1945, you took part in numerous entertainment features. I have before me a photostatic copy of the June 20th, 1947 issue of the Daily Worker. It says, tonight, hear Pete Seeger and his guitar. Were you singing for the Communist Party?
Sir, I refuse to answer that question, whether it's a quote from the New York Times or from the Vegetarian Journal.
I don't believe there is any more authoritative communist document than the Daily Worker. I direct you to answer.
I am not going to answer any questions as to my associates, my philosophical, religious beliefs, my political beliefs, or how I voted in any election. I think these are very improper questions for any American to be asked, especially under such compulsion as this. I'd be very glad to tell you about my life, if you'd like to hear it.
I have before me a photostatic copy of the April 30th, 1948 issue of the Daily Worker. The advertisement states, are you in a fighting mood? Then attend the Essex County Communist Party rally with entertainment by Pete Seeger. What do you say about that?
I believe I have already answered this question.
Perhaps, Mr. Seeger, you could give it again.
I decline to discuss under compulsion where I have sung, who has sung my songs, who has sung with me, and the people I have known. I greatly resent this implication that some of the places I have sung, and some of the people I have known, and some of my opinions, whether they are religious or philosophical, or I might be a vegetarian, make me any less of an American than you. I love my country very deeply, sir.
Why don't you make a little contribution toward preserving its institutions?
I feel my whole life is a contribution. That's why I'd like to tell you about it.
I don't want to hear about it. I want to know whether or not you were engaged in a service for the Communist Party.
I have sung for Americans of every persuasion. Some of my ancestors came to America over 300 years ago as religious dissenters. Others more recently were abolitionists in New England. And I believe that in choosing my present course, I do nothing to dishonor them or those who would follow me. For over 30 years, I have sung the songs of the American people, songs of people everywhere. I've sung in the hobo jungles. I've sung for the Rockefellers. I'm proud to say I never refused to sing for anyone because I disagreed with their political beliefs. Sir, might I have permission to sing you one particular song?
You certainly may not.
Well, you'll hear it sometime, sir. A good song can only do good. And I'm proud of the songs I have sung.
Okay, just in that, you've got to so love Pete Seeger. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read a lot of the, you know, over the years, a lot of the testimony from various people.
Oh, it reads like theater.
Yeah, it really does. And it's been used in plays. Ben, can we play a little? That is a portion of what you would hear next Saturday night. If you can get tickets, please try at oldtownschool.org/concerts.
So before he plays I have to say that this has never been heard anywhere. This is a world premiere happening on the Rick Kogan Show of the Mississippi Suite, which I haven't released to anyone.
Well, yeah, see, but it's a world premiere for the other people out there because I've listened to it about 30 times.
You've listened to it.
I listened to it about 30 times at work this week.
So dark at night. Can't see your hands. Can't see the water. Can't see the land. And the bone chill can be frightening. Storm clouds stir the lightning. Mississippi 5 and Mississippi 6, my country, 'tis of thee politics. This vote's going the wrong way. This
boat's going the wrong way. Even the kids around here can say, you go that way, you go down, you go this way, you go round. You go your way because you think you know more with your shiny new this and your shiny new that with your green back, dollar man. Well, you can holler, man, and you can grab us by the collar, man. But we will never agree with the likes of you, with the stripes of you. Cause you can't drive down our river without running into sand and tearing up the land with your small puffy hands. Not exactly what you plan. You know what I'm talking about. And we're standing right here with our sons and daughters. Cause this is our water. This is our river that we need to live, that we need to share and to show we care with all that we've got. Cause this is all we've got. The people in this room who show up when it matters, who show up here and now. The people in this room, the people on this boat. Take the wheel away and stop the madness, man. Maybe wade in the water, knee deep, and pull when I say. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, waist deep and water rising. Pull when you can pull. Darker now and upstream. Hold on to me good and tight. Got you, got you, got you now. No, it doesn't hurt me none. Nothing stops this moonbeam. Hold on to me. Yeah, yeah. The river is the only road. The river is the only road. As far as the eye can see. The people in this room who show up when it matters, who show up here and now. The people in this room, the people on this boat. Take the wheel away and stop the madness, man. Maybe wade in the water knee deep and pull when I say. Wade in the water. Wade in the water. Waist deep and water rising. Pull when you can pull. Darker now and upstream. Hold on to me good and tight. Got you. Got you. Got you now. No. It don't hurt me none. Nothing stops this moonbeam.
Hold on to me.
Hold on to me.
Hold on.
Yeah. The river is the only road. River. thunder, like heaven, right here.
Pretty amazing, and I've heard it before. I'm sure people out there are going, oh my god, that is Glenda Zara Baker on vocals, Lloyd King on flute. Who else is on that piece?
Chris Clementi on bass, Brent Roman on percussion, as well as Sue DeMille and Deborah Later on backup vocals. There,
nice fan. I like those two women. Yes. Michael, congratulations. That is going to be how Saturday night, a Pete Seeger centennial celebration, 100 years of protest, ends. It will end with the entire 22 minutes of the Mississippi Suite. And you will be able to see, I'm sure, and hear Mississippi Suite somewhere in your travels in the next couple of years. You can also explore Michael's astonishing journey and his adventure in music and creative arts at Miles, M-I-L-E-S, music.org. What can I tell you, pal? It is ever a pleasure to know you, and we've had some great adventures, and I hope we have some more.
I hope so, too, Rick. Yeah,
me, too. Just, Michael, yeah. Thank you. Again, go to Miles Music. You can call the Old Town School or go to oldtownschool.org/concerts and get yourself put on a waiting list for the show. It is sold out, as well it should be.
And it's milesmusic.org. Yeah.
What did I say, .com?
No, you did.
Well, you know me. I don't know the difference between .org and .com.